All right, this is the Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere podcast. I am your host, Joel Gardner, joined every week by my good buddy, stand-up comedian Derek Sweet. You can find all our audio components over at stuckinthemiddleofsomewhere.com or sitmos.net. That's SITMOS.net. You can also follow us on Twitter at sitmos, at Joel Gardner, or at Sweet Comedian. Please go to iTunes and subscribe and rate us, because in the long run, it will only help. You can also find a little donation button on the top of our main page. It's because of you guys that this podcast actually exists. So we love you and thank you all for that. Let's get this thing going. Go back to the mid-1970s with some of the originators of the punk scene. Here's The Clash. Peace and peace. Welcome, everybody.
What's up?
What's going on? I just want to apologize ahead of time. I've had a nasty cold for like 4 or 5 days now, man. It's not really been a cold. I've just been really stuffed up, and I can't shake it for some reason.
I have to apologize as well because I've had a nasty warm.
Yeah, what's that like?
It's actually quite comfortable.
You can breathe fine, your throat fine, is nice and soothing.
Exactly, yeah.
Great, well, fuck you. I don't know, I think you're going to have to do most of the talking for the first half of the podcast here, man, because I haven't really been playing a lot of video games lately.
Yeah, no, you haven't. And, there's been quite a few things coming out.
Said, what do you want to talk about first?
Well, we said we were going to talk about NHL last week because we barely touched on it, so.
All right, give me the scoop.
It's pretty fun. I guess we'll only talk about what's different from last year. We don't need to dwell on it. They redid the physics in the game, so everything seems like a little bit more realistic. Like the puck doesn't stick to your guy so much. Like it really seems that you're juggling that puck with the stick. I don't know if juggling is the right word.
Stick handling?
Yes, well, it's stick handling, but you're handling the puck with the stick, right?
And, well, it seems like even when you wind up for a shot, the puck actually travels. It doesn't stick in that one spot, right?
Exactly. Like, as soon as you wind up your stick for a shot, the puck keeps moving the direction that it was moving slightly before, and if you don't shoot fast enough, it's gone and you miss it. Or if somebody touches you, yeah, exactly, huge whiffs. And so there's that. And it seems kind of buggy, though. Like, you were commenting when you came over that the sound was cutting in and out.
Yeah, it was sound constantly cutting out.
And I've seen some weird things with, like, some sketchy player movements. And
dude, I have to say, this is EA. Do you think EA is going to fix this? Or yeah, is EA just going to concentrate on their next game?
I know, they don't have a good history of fixing issues in their games, do they?
And why would they, really? They announce yearly titles. Every single sports game out there, they release yearly, so they have a whole team just going at it constantly, just building the next game, building the next game, building the next game.
Yeah.
Who's there concentrating on the games that are already out?
Yeah, I mean, like, does anybody
care after a year anyway?
What is their incentive to fix their NHL 12 game when they have to get NHL 13 ready for next year?
You know? Like, I really don't think there it is. I think in their mindset, it's, well, we'll fix it next year when we release our next game.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know. Do people get that tired of sports game that they have to have the latest one every year?
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about that. It's kind of like you don't stop watching hockey just because it's similar to last year, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So you buy the game every year just because it's the updated rosters. There's a couple new things. You love the sport, and that's why you pick it up. You know, and yeah, NHL 12 is pretty much just as good as NHL 11. Really not a big difference.
Well, but you tricked one of our buddies into getting it.
I didn't tell John, dude. I just told him, I was like, you should see
it. You gave him false information.
Oh, I did. That's right. I told him that his player would transport over from last year. It
did. Which is like the reason he got it.
I know, he spent a bunch of money. He was one of the people that paid for his character, so he spent money upgrading
paid for his character.
Yeah, you can either...
What am I missing?
You can either play the game and get these things called EA pucks and spend those pucks upgrading your character, or you can just buy pucks. With
how much are the pucks?
I don't know how much the pucks are, but the upgrades cost. Like, I've only been playing the Hockey Ultimate Team, yeah. So, like, for example, a pack of cards is... 160 Microsoft points or 600 EA pucks. So you can make about 600 pucks in two games, or you can pay like $2. Fucking pucks.
I just had to say puck one more time because you must have said it like 10 or 12 in that span there. What's going on? You need to take that phone call that's interrupting this podcast?
Yeah, sorry. Let's just pause for a sec.
And we're back.
We're back. Sorry about that.
No worries. What were we talking about?
NHL 12.
About how much EA licks balls when it comes to fixing stuff.
One sec. Okay.
And we're back again.
We're back again.
We still don't know what we're
talking
about. We
still don't know what we were talking about because we couldn't get the software to play.
Oh, so bad. Anyway, okay, well, that's enough for NHL. I mean,
yeah, it is what it is. They've added the other things they've added besides the physics is the Witcher Classic, which is the outdoor game on the bigger rink.
Yeah.
So there's that. Yeah, they're minor additions, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and then there's the Be a Legends mode, which I think we talked about it last week. You gotta.
Well, you didn't open it up yet last week.
Oh, I had one guy. You start off with, who was it again?
Didn't you tell me it was Roenick?
Yeah, Roenick. Like Jeremy Roenick.
Jeremy Roenick. What? I thought this was Legends mode.
Yeah. Well, he's the first Legend. He's the one that you get for free.
Roenick.
And then I think you have to play through, like, I don't know how much you have to play to unlock the other ones, but it's ridiculous. Like, I'm not going to do it. I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah, especially to get, like, somebody like Gretzky or something, which is probably the last guy.
But I did play against a guy with Gretzky.
Already?
Yeah, online, so...
It's a hardcore guy to kick your ass.
Yeah.
Oh, big surprise.
So that's NHL. What else?
Well, the big release this week was Gears of War.
Gears of War 3, that's right.
You want to tell me why you're laughing at Cliff?
Yeah, I almost didn't get Cliffy Gears B. of War 3. I wasn't laughing at Cliffy B. I almost didn't get Gears of War 3. And I was like thinking, I'm like, why don't you want to get it? You really liked Gears of War 2. I really did. Like, I thought Gears of War 2 was great. But I wasn't gonna get Gears of War 3 just because of how like arrogant and in your face Cliffy B is. Like, yeah, I'm Cliffy B. You're gonna play Gears of War because I rule, you know. And it's like, dude, gamers like humility. I think like that's why Shigeru Miyamoto is worshipped because he's never been there. I made fucking Mario. Like you'll never see Shigeru Miyamoto being like fucking me. Look at me. I like and he can he could do that. He
I don't know, man. Is maybe this is the new school though? Do kids nowadays really look up to Miyamoto? Do kids nowadays like gamers that are coming up really know who Miyamoto even is?
The real gamers, yeah.
You think so, eh? The guys that are playing like hardcore CS and shit like that have never touched Nintendo?
Right, but I mean, we're talking about gamers, which are people that play everything, not just CS players, you know?
Okay, well, I guess, if you want to go to the definition of what a gamer is now.
Yeah, I guess. I've always had that impression that a gamer, if you're going to call yourself a gamer, you have to play everything. Because if you just play RTS, then you're an RTS gamer. You're an RTS player. Like, this just, it makes sense to me to say, well, you're not a general gamer if you just play one genre. Like,
yeah. Well, there's pro gamers, and pro gamers are always only going to play that one game.
That's true. That's a good argument for, against what I'm saying, actually.
So, I don't know. Gaming's gaming, man.
I mean,
but whatever. Personally, I haven't really seen much. Cliffy B's not really in my face yelling anything at me because I've managed to avoid it somehow. Hmm. I haven't really seen anything about Cliffy B.
Yeah, I guess he was a He hasn't been that in your face. You're right. I can't even think of how much. I don't know.
You're just thinking about like past experiences that you've like.
Well, yeah, I remember seeing him come out and saw a wall in half with his stupid gun.
That's pretty ridiculous. But.
And just every time I see him talk, he just seems like. Are you watching Survivor this season?
No, I haven't been.
This guy on Survivor this season named Cockard, and he just seems like Cockard. He's just like this loser that's pretending to be cool and.
Dude, I have to say, I have seen one guy on Survivor that is a rapist. He's a full-on rapist, man.
Who?
That Russell Hands.
The nephew?
Nephew or whatever.
Yeah.
How he has a major problem with that one girl.
Yeah, because she's attractive and nice. Yeah.
And he just can't stop, like, just creeping on her.
And he was getting everybody to vote her out, and the reason why was because she was a temptress and stuff like that. Yeah, dude,
and
rapist
yeah, and he, and
for
yeah,
sure.
And he was really, and because he's a born-again Christian, and he's just trying to fight the evil back of wanting to, like, jump this chick pretty much.
It's so funny, dude, because he was saying, he's like, every day I struggle with this good and evil, try to
I
be
just
good.
I finished telling you I didn't watch Survivor. I haven't watched Survivor. I know. I have seen like a couple of clips. It sounds like a...
It's funny though to see him say, every day I struggle with this good and evil and I'm just trying to be good and struggle. I'm like, dude, every day you struggle with good and evil? Like,
yeah, then deep down you're not a very good guy.
I know. I was like, man, I get presented with genuine ethical dilemmas like once every few weeks and I have to go, oh shit, I could do something unethical here, but no, man, you gotta do the right thing, you know, and you know, don't fuck that person over and don't be dishonest, because it gets you in the long run. That's my theory.
The
karma isn't a mystical thing.
Well, what are you talking about, like not holding a door open for somebody or
no I'm saying if I had the opportunity to, I don't even want to talk about what my ethical dilemmas are, because I have to like explain to people this is what I actually have to deal with, and then maybe I look like a bad person like this guy. Maybe people out there are like, every 2 to 3 weeks, dude, for me it's like every couple of years. But no, I don't know. Like, yesterday, here's one. Waitress forgot to put my order in. Everybody got their food before me, and I got my food for free, but I gave her a tip that was the cost of my meal, right? Because minor ethical dilemma, right? But that doesn't happen every day. That's like once a month or so. I have to go, oh, how am I going to deal with this? Do I just take the free food, which I know the waitress has to pay for out of her salary? That's the way it works. If a waitress fucks up, she pays for it.
Now, did she come to you and offer the free food, or was it something that you required? Because
No, I made no deal. I was like, it's fine. She's like, it's on me. I'll pay for it. And I was like, no, you don't have to do that. And she's like, no, I will. And then I just gave her like a $15 tip.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what I would have done to you.
Yeah.
Because I would have been, well, whatever. I mean, just give me my food. It doesn't matter. Just as long as you give me my food, I'll pay for it.
Yeah, and I had it within 5 minutes, and I was finishing my meal at the same time as everybody else. So I had to sit there, and, you know, people were giving me food because they felt bad. So now all of a sudden I'm getting food off other people's plates. So I ended up in the situation, I suppose.
You got more food than everybody.
Exactly. I got to sample other foods. And...
All right, well, we got off on a tangent. I don't know how we got to... restaurants and eating food off of Gears of War.
But Gears of War 3. So I finished it already. It's not super long. It was also super fun. So I did not have a problem playing it. Like, I would sit down and play a chapter whenever I could. Like, I would just fit a half an hour in at lunch if I had time. And
it looked like... it looked like it was kind of designed by somebody on ADD, though, man. Like, in the first two, there were kind of these set chapters, and you were doing these cool set pieces, but they would last pretty long, you know. From the couple hours I've sat down and watched you play, it seemed like you were doing something new every couple minutes. It was like, okay, now I'm grabbing this, and I'm firing with this weapon on this big, ship. And the next moment, you're, like, underwater. And
it does
like,
move very quickly.
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
A lot
one of my,
quicker than the first two.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite things about it, man. The pacing of this game was fantastic. It really felt like watching a movie. There was one point where something really dramatic happens and all the sound cuts out, and like kind of the music to that. What's the Donnie Darko song that they used from the...
Oh, it originally was done by Tears for Fears.
Tears for Fears, yeah. Mad World, yeah. I don't know if it was for sure Mad World, but it was totally supposed to be. But it sounded like they didn't get the rights to it, so they wrote something that kind of sounded like Mad World.
Is it the song that's on the commercial you're talking
about? Yeah, you know how they used it on the commercial?
Yeah, no,
so there's
that's
a point,
just a new song.
There's a point in Gears of War 3 where... No, I'm not saying in the Gears of War 3 commercial. I'm saying there's a point in Gears of War 3 where there's a really dramatic moment and all the sound cuts out and all that's playing is a song. And it sounds so much like Mad World, but it's not quite Mad World, you know? So yeah, I think...
they're going for that feel.
I think that's what they were doing. They're like, oh, we don't want to pay to use Mad World, so let's just write something that's like the exact same thing with one note difference, because that's all you need to do. So, you know, things like that. The direction choices, the pacing of the game and everything was fantastic. The whole game, I was enthralled. I was like, oh, this is awesome. Let's keep playing. And... right up until the very end. The end, I found it a little bit anticlimactic, but...
it didn't... The one thing I must say from watching you play is going in and out of the cutscenes seemed really jarring to me, especially a couple times when I noticed this one point you were just about to go fight some enemies, and then you took a couple steps, you know... you were backing up, but you were taking a couple steps forward in the map, technically, mm-hmm. and it just threw you into a cutscene all of a sudden. And then when you came out of that cutscene, those enemies were gone, and you were like, continue on with the story.
Yeah.
Shit like that, it seemed, I don't know, the cutscenes didn't seem to flow as nice as they could have, but I mean, that's just being picky. You know,
it must have just been the one thing that you were watching, because most of it was really fluid.
Really?
Like, somebody in the forums commented it was like they took the gravity out of the game, and I thought that was an interesting way. It was actually on Twitter. I think it was Hellbent said, he's like, it's like they took the gravity out of the game, and the way he meant that is just that it fucking flowed. Like, you never felt like you were dragged down at all. It was always like... it was like watching a movie, but you were in control. It's weird because it's so linear. It's like a hallway, but it doesn't feel linear because it feels linear in the way that a movie does, because you're not in control of the movie, and the movie progresses in a linear fashion when you're watching a movie. And this game had this exact same feel. Like, you'll just have to play it. Joel's got his coming in the mail. It'll be here soon. So
yeah, hopefully. I'd like to get some co-op action down and see what that's like.
Yeah, John and Rich both bought it, so we're going to do some four-player play through the whole campaign.
That's what I'm actually looking forward to the most. And I might not even play through the single-player campaign and just do the co-op and maybe check out some multiplayer.
Nice. And then multiplayer...
talk on it more then.
Yeah, the multiplayer's got Versus, Horde, and this new Beast mode, I guess, where it's like the same thing as Horde, but you're bad dudes. You
have a certain amount of time to kill the good guys.
To get through the waves of good guys, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's Gears of War. Yeah, we'll talk about it a bit more once Joel's got in. We've done some more co-op, but if you like the Gears of War single player, I cannot recommend this one enough. It's just as good as Gears of War 2, if you ask me, so...
All right. Well, that's Gears of War 3. Shit.
And then finally we got the re-release of ICO and Shadows of the Colossus.
Yeah, should I be picking up the HD version of these games? Or
I don't know. I don't know if you should.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I love these games, but first of all, ICO does not look that much different. I haven't even touched Shadow of the Colossus yet. I just finished ICO last night. So... and it only takes like 5 hours to go through. I've played through the game 3 times and I still got stuck for an hour at one point. I was like, how do you do this? So that was my fourth playthrough of the game.
And fourth playthrough.
Yeah. I mean, I played it.
So
through.
You love this game, man.
ICO and Shadow Colossus are my two favorite games of all time. And I can't wait for Last Guardian, which is the one they're coming out with.
Damn. I'm really interested as to why you don't think I could actually go through this or want to play this game. Like, why don't you think I should pick it up?
Well, you can just borrow it from me if you want, but yeah, you could pick it up if you wanted.
What's going on out there?
I don't know. Somebody's doing something, but, I guarantee you, like, Shadows of Colossus, you'll love. But I will bet you right now $20, one of our classic bets.
Oh, we're going to get a bet going.
Yeah, if you want to do a bet. With the help of a walkthrough, you can have a walkthrough, you still won't finish ICO.
Won't finish it because of the difficulty of it, or I won't know? I still don't really know the premise behind ICO.
ICO is it's a puzzle platformer. Where, like, so imagine playing, like, it was definitely inspirational to the new Lara Croft games and that whole genre of platformer that came off of this. As I was playing it, I realized, I was like, oh man, so many games were born out of this. Like, ICO changed platformers in the way cameras worked and the way that puzzles worked within platformers and stuff like that. So anyways, it's a puzzle platformer, and the gimmick is that you have to get this useless chick through all the puzzles with you. You don't have to just get through yourself. You got to get this chick, Yorda, who sucks. And the AI is terrible for her.
So is that one reason why you don't think I'm going to get through? Is it going to be like the difficulty of it? Or I'm not just not going to be be able to figure it out, or the frustration, or everything combined here?
It's all combined. Like, the difficulty of the game is pretty hard. The combat is not good. Like, it's bad. It's a 10-year-old game.
Why do you love this game?
Because 10 years ago, it was amazing. But now you play it.
It's a nostalgia thing.
Yeah, no, and you can look back on it, and it is absolutely an artistic piece of work. Graphically and stuff, some games still haven't even come close. Like, some modern games don't look as good as ICO, not even the HD version. Like, ICO and Shadow Colossus still, I think, achieve. Maybe they may not be high res, they may not have the most incredible textures, but the artists that put those images together were brilliant. Like, it comes together in a way that makes you think that you're looking at a work of art painting, not a video game. Like, anytime you can just pause the game, look at it, and it's like, that is gorgeous. That looks like an oil painting, you know?
And, really?
Yeah. And both games are that gorgeous just in their artistic design. So, but it's the difficulty of executing things, and just they give you nothing. Like, even with a walkthrough, you'll still be like, what? Where? Where is the thing that the walkthrough is telling me to go? Because
interested to play this game, man.
You know how most games just lead you around by the nose? This game will not lead you around by the nose at all. Like, there's no, you're like, where am I supposed, without a walkthrough? Like, I don't know how I ever did it without a walkthrough, because this, even my fourth time through, I had to take, when I got stuck for an hour, I had to go
look up something. Now I can pick my walkthrough?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, man.
$20. I bet you don't finish the game.
Let's see.
You're not even finishing good games like Dead Island.
That has nothing to do with difficulty or anything like that. That right. just has to do with boredom. And I'm saying
you're not finishing ICO.
But with a bet behind this, man. Come on, now I got motivation.
$20, is it really that much motivation?
Not, I give a shit about the $20. We bet nothing. Just the bet.
Oh, just the bet. Oh, okay. All
right. He's gonna drive me to finish that game.
So I'll talk more about Shadows of the Colossus next week when I've played it. And but from what I've read in the reviews, it is way better. Like, the
way
HD,
better how? Is it looking?
Yeah, they upgrade. The re-release of it is significant. It is noticeable. Whereas with ICO, I was like, yeah, it's HD, but it always looked great, so it still looks the same. But apparently, Shadows of the Colossus has really been remastered and really done. They've done a good job of it. So
really,
yeah.
Cool, man. Well, yeah, I look forward to doing this. We'll have to tape it. We'll definitely make it another video podcast. I don't know, man.
Won't be a video podcast. That would be the most boring video podcast.
No, we could cut it down to, like, we could make it a video podcast, but
if you cut out the part about the game, sure. We could intro it and be, okay, Joel's going to go play the game now, then we come back. I'm telling you, it's not a fun game to watch. It's so slow. You have no idea how slow Yorta is and how bad the AI for her is. Because there's a button where you can call her over and you say, come here. And you go, and she comes over. And man, there's times where she's at the base of a ladder and she's just walking around the ladder, like, won't go up it, just going around the ladder in circles. You're like, dude, then you have to go down the ladder, push her a bit, and then go back up. Like, the AI is really terrible, so... Kind of wish I didn't play this. I had better memories of ICO before I replayed it.
Kind of just ruined it for you?
A little bit. It made me... But then I looked it up. 10 years old. That's old, man. That's a... Like, in video games,
yeah,
that's
and you know what my opinion is on trying to play old games. So yeah. Maybe that alone might...
I still
might
got through
not
it.
Not make me finish the game.
Yeah. I still got through it.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we should make it into a video podcast, just for the simple fact alone is that I am done editing on PCs, man.
Yeah,
I'm finished. I need to talk about that. I cannot deal with it anymore.
We are sorry that this video episode has not
our
come
latest,
out.
We've been talking about this video podcast, this latest episode, for like over a month now, and it's just been ridiculous. You don't understand the time I've put in to so far not get a final result.
It's all done. All the editing's finished.
All the editing is done. It just has to be rendered, but my computer will not do it. Just crash, crash, crash.
Yeah. And this is why people edit on Macs, I think.
I think so, because there's really nothing wrong. There's no big transitions. I've used files this size before, so it's not the fact that I'm using this high-definition footage that my PC just can't handle. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with me running applications in the background and that are using up my RAM. Nothing like that. It just it won't do it. It won't render. And to be honest, Clinton Jones, who we'll talk about a little later on, the
director of Cardboard Warfare 2, he had the same problem right before he was going to render Cardboard Warfare 2. Just kept crashing and crashing.
Wow.
And yeah, I think I'm just done with PC editing, man. I now know why people edit on a Mac. Even though I haven't done it, but I've never heard people complaining about Macs crashing.
Yeah. I mean, you even found your buddy's you borrowed your buddy's computer with Premiere on it.
And then, so I borrowed my buddy's computer, which was a little more powerful and had CS 5.5, and I only have CS 5. So he had a higher, updated version of the software, a better running computer with double the RAM. So I took that home, borrowed it, finished up a couple quick cuts that I had to do that I wasn't satisfied with, and went to go render it out in the morning. No, I rendered it out. It was fine. And then in the morning, I was going to do a couple quick cuts that I wasn't satisfied with. Went to go load up the project. Project can now no longer be loaded because of outdated elements. And so I lost all the edits that I did the previous night, lost the whole project, so I was pretty much back to step one.
Square one.
I want a step, all right? Okay,
fine, you can have step one. That sucks, though. So,
And now we're back, and now he left to go to the Google headquarters, because I was just going to borrow his it was so late at night, I had to go to work the next day. So I was just, okay, I'll just borrow it this night. And then I found out he had to go to Google headquarters. So he was taking his laptop, and now he won't be back for another week.
Wow.
So now we're back to needing to find another computer that can render this thing, because my computer just won't do it.
Yeah.
And I'm at a point where I pretty much just have to maybe risk formatting and, you know, backing everything up and taking the long process of formatting my comp and reinstalling everything and doing it that way in the meantime. But it's been nothing but frustration. Just the simple fact that as I was editing, the only way I could see what my edits looked like was to render the footage, because it wouldn't play in real time, which this is the first time this has happened as well. So I couldn't watch things in real time to see how my edits looked or what they were doing or anything. So I'd have to edit like 30 seconds, make my cuts, and then edit just that little or render just that little section, see how it looked, went back, made changes, rendered that little section. So it's taking at least double the amount of time, because I'm having to render everything, which is, you know, a couple minutes just to render that clip, where I could just be continuing to edit.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just been one thing after another. And the filming, we won't even get into the filming right now, but
just trying to deal with PlayStation
later.
Just trying to deal with PlayStation 3's online system and record that without it fucking up.
Yeah, it was rough, man. So we're doing our best. I will get it out within this next week, I promise, but this will be my last time I edit on a PC.
Yeah.
So until we do more, and until I get a Mac, I don't know. You know me, dude. I'll fucking just try it again anyway.
Well, we'll see. I'm going to do the next one.
The whole time.
I'm going to do the next one, because I've actually got, for some reason, a hankering to do some directing and editing.
Hankering.
I don't know why. A hankering for some directing. Hankering for some editing.
Oh, man. Yeah, so you got anything else you want to talk about, man? Dude, I was listening to Howard Stern the other day.
Yeah.
And he had a guy on whose balls weighed 145 pounds.
Whatever.
His testicles. It was not whatever, dude. This was a not whatever situation.
They had a scale there?
They had a scale, and they weighed this guy's balls. His balls have been growing. Like, last time this dude weighed his balls, they were like 80 pounds or something like that. And then they weighed him on Howard Stern. They're 145 pounds. He has to carry his balls around in like a milk crate. So he has a milk crate that he puts his balls in, and then he like carries the milk crate around. He's a big, fat dude, so he doesn't move around a lot. But when he does, he has to carry his balls in a milk crate, dude.
It's like a South Park episode. You realize that, right?
I've never heard of that in my life.
Like, Randy,
what do you do about that situation? And the guy has no money, and he lives in the States, so he can't just go get some plastic surgery done, you know, and get this handled.
Yeah,
he's got to wait for some like charity case kind of thing.
So it's not cancer or something. He just has massive balls.
I don't know, man. Yeah, I don't know if it's just like his body just keeps pumping out testosterone and his balls keep getting bigger, or would his balls shrink in that case? I don't know what.
How nice of the millionaire Howard Stern to bring him on his show and exploit him and not offer him a little bit of help.
Dude, you don't listen to Howard Stern, man.
Yeah, clearly. Jeez, Howard, come on, help out the guy with massive balls, for Christ's
sake. Dude, I think just going on, I bet you the guy will get help just going on Howard Stern. I bet you one of his listeners will be sympathetic.
If anybody knows balls, it's Howard Stern's listeners. Like, somebody out there is like, dude, I'm an expert on balls. I know
exactly what to do.
Exactly.
Well, it's either the guy's got to get castrated or...
Yeah, I can't believe he hasn't yet.
What would you do? Like, if everything would be uncomfortable. How would you go to the bathroom? How would you do anything, dude? Like,
if he's that fat, he's never procreating anyways.
So. And supposedly his penis was like getting sucked in, so now he has like no penis and huge balls.
Huh.
It was just unbelievable. Listening to this show, man, I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
It was crazy, but I thought everyone liked a good big ball story. So.
Yeah, no, I mean that's the biggest of the big ball stories, I think.
Can't get much bigger, man, that's for sure. You want to wrap this up?
Yeah, before we do, I want to say one thing, which is every week since one of our listeners gave me something, I've been meaning to thank him, and every week I keep forgetting to do it and tell you.
Who sent you something?
The Fear 3 Collector's Edition that Thrash Titan sent me?
Oh, yeah. You haven't thanked him for that
No,
yet?
Because I'm an asshole, Thrash Titan. I'm so sorry, dude. It is so awesome what this guy did, because that was it came with the naked Alma statue, and you guys probably remember me talking about it and saying, yeah, it's coming in the mail, and then it came, and I never talked about it again. It's awesome.
Did you even write him and thank him?
I wrote him and thanked him, okay. Yes. And, but, you know, he clearly deserves a shout out on this, because he didn't even, I offered to pay him. I'm like, how much do I owe you? And he wouldn't even take payment for it. He just gave it to me.
Yeah.
And it was like $90. Like, yeah. That's nothing to spit at. So, yeah, it was a really nice guy. And, you know, and I could never have gotten it myself. It was only released in Europe and Australia. So I would have had to pay hundreds to get it through eBay. And instead, this guy just said, thank you so much, man. You rule. And, yeah.
Right on. Well, thanks, man. And, why am I thanking you? Fuck, you didn't send me shit. Where's my stuff?
Yeah, seriously.
Just kidding, dude. I also want to say, I can't believe we mentioned it a little bit before, but Cardboard Warfare 2 was released this week. Mm-hmm. It's already at 1.2 million views. It's one of the most
1.3
watched.
Last time I looked.
Really? 1.3?
Yeah.
Nice. It's one of the most watched and top-rated videos of the week, so
it even came up in my news feed of my video game news feed. I was like, whoa, Cardboard Warfare 2.
Yeah, it's been on G4 TV, Gizmodo's done a couple articles. Mm-hmm. Clinton Jones is the man,
Jones, and he's not black.
And yeah, I was extremely honored to have been able to work with him, and we got a few projects in the works that are going to be hopefully done this year.
Wicked.
So look forward to that as well. But yeah, check it out, Cardboard Warfare 2, out on YouTube. You can probably go to Clinton's YouTube page. Holy crap, sorry, Clint. It's
Punisher.
YouTube, yeah, Punisher. Punisher. And this has been Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere. You can follow us at sitmoss.net. Well, no, that's our website.
You can find us there.
You can find us at sitmoss.net, and then follow us on Twitter at sitmoss, SITMOS, and or our personal ones at Joel Gardner, at Sweet Comedian, and we'll catch you guys next week, I guess.
Peace.
Peace.